Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host Han Tran. Han, how are you?
I am great, Jim. How was your day today, guy?
Excellent. It was actually quite busy. We had the great opportunity of spending some time with a new potential client, and it just brought up a whole bunch of interesting things. But one of the topics tonight that we wanted to talk about is, and by the way, this is episode number 38, and telltale signs that say it's time to renovate. You know, we've done a bunch of shows about new builds and site acquisition and aesthetics and first impressions and all that kind of great stuff. And so we thought tonight's show, let's jump into the renovation realm.
That would be a really good area, Jim. I think. You know, for there's an awful lot of reason why renovating an existing space will give you an uplift in morale. It gives the patient base a little bit of something extra that they can brag about. You know, it just kind of gives the an overall a fresher sense of life within the practice.
Definitely. And so, we're not going to talk tonight about just things that are about old and out of date. Obviously those are areas that we will discuss, but you know, we're going to discuss those signs, and there's a bunch of them that really sometimes people don't think about. And specifically, we all know that change is hard. We don't like change. Han and I don't like change. I don't know anybody that likes change. It's, you know, we're human. Humans like to be comfortable. And one way to be comfortable is to have the same kind of familiar stuff around us. And change gets us out of that comfort zone. But you need to be competitive. And sometimes change is necessary to be competitive. And so we've come up with a bunch of kind of, here's your sign. Remember the comedian?
Jeff.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Here's your sign. And the first one we wanted to throw out there is, if your office looks like the dental office you went to as a kid, it's time.
Here's your sign.
Here's your sign. It's time. Now, that could be a lot of things. That could be the aesthetics. That could also be the equipment. I mean, you can kind of say, well, wait a minute. I like my equipment. It works. That's right. It does. But let's say the chairs are outdated and maybe they need an upholstery job. Or maybe some, you know, just getting two or three or four little pieces in there of new equipment will help you to get rid of that stereotype that's that old dental office that never, ever, ever changes.
Jim, when you put in new equipment, I think from a consumer standpoint, your patient start to believe or notice it that you're actually pretty serious about building your practice. You're investing in new technology, so you are current. You're more, you know, you're more up to date. I mean, if you look at, you know, you buy a practice from a retired dentist, and the equipment in, you know, in that practice that you just become the owner of is a missing piece from the Smithsonian, it's time to change.
I like that. Yeah, the Smithsonian piece. Yes. And unfortunately, it's a reflection on you, your service, your staff, and the capabilities of everyone. And it's not right, but it is a reflection. You may be the perfect, absolutely correct, excellent service provider. Your staff could be A number one, 100% A pluses all the way around. And still, if you're living in an environment and you're practicing in an environment, it will portray badly on your staff or you. And it gives that impression that the old vintage equipment, the old vintage space, just isn't up to par. And thus, by example, you are not up to par. So it's time for a renovation, or it's time for an upgrade. And it could be as simple as things like a fresh coat of paint, a few pieces of specific equipment here and there that you highlight, a new system that you put into place, some, maybe some new electronics, TVs, those kind of things. It could be as simple as change out the artwork, change the staff uniform. All those things can make dramatic impacts on it's time you've done something you're really thinking about, and it effectively creates a new vision or a new brand or a new style within that. Styles, they tend to go out every 10 years or so, Han, wouldn't you say?
I think fads had, you know, a short life. You can walk into, let's say, I'm pretty sure Jim agreed with me on this, is that you can drive down the road and you can pick out a building and say, that one is 1980, that one's 1970, and so on. So styles and fads and stuff like that has a life cycle. Let me say, if we walk into your office and you have teal carpet and moth wall covering, all right, you're stuck in the 80s.
Well, you dropped it another. Here's the next one. Are you stuck in the 80s or are you stuck in the 90s? It might be time. You know, you're right. The avocado whatever, or the sink that was what was that? Golden something gold.
It's Harvest Gold.
Harvest Gold.
Right?
There it is.
Harvest Gold. Okay. Yeah. That was that's one god ugly color. But anyway, it's a fad. Okay. Yeah. If you're offended because you have, you know, Harvest Gold in your office, 1,000 pardon. All right. It's but it is, you know, your an update or freshen up the place could be as simple as a coat of paint, like Jim say, or maybe new wall covering, you know, a feature wall, something that doesn't necessarily cost a lot, but it could be visually refreshing to say that you're doing something to, to keep up with Joneses, but do something to refreshing and new.
Yeah, get rid of the shag carpet or the semi-shag carpet, put a good coat of paint on, and change up some artwork. We'll turn your place into basically a brand new facility virtually overnight. But again, we're talking that these happen to be aesthetic issues we're talking about at first. But here's another one. Are your patients not coming back? Now, this has nothing to do. It kind of has something to do with aesthetics, and it has a possibility of doing with other things. But have you noticed, and you obviously you should be tracking, you're tracking what's going on. Are your patients coming back? What's your retention numbers like? If they're not coming back, something's wrong. Now, if you have, again, A-plus staff, you've got great service, you've got great, you know, everything. Prices, everything's in place. It's there. Well, they're not coming back for a reason. It could be it's time for a renovation. And again, that renovation could be as simple as the things we just talked about.
Here's a prime example of a condition that you literally say it's time to do something. I was in an existing practice, looking at a renovation, and when you walk down the main clinical hallway, you can literally touch the head of all the patients in the chair. That's how tight the space is. I mean, literally. Okay. I think it affects the sense of or the level of service or the perception of level of service and care that you provide. Besides the fact that it's dangerous for the hazardous for the patient, you're sitting they're laying in a chair, the mouth open, you got sharp instruments in your hand, and the next patient will come by. If they accidentally swing their purse, a great day could turn nasty really, really fast. The condition of not just the condition of the physical environment, but the crampedness of the physical environment could be a turnoff for a lot of people.
Wow.
Jim?
Yeah, that definitely is one. I didn't think about that. And let's take it to the next one. Is your office falling apart? No. You say, what do you mean falling apart? Literally, are things falling apart? Do the doors work properly? Do the windows work properly? Is the molding still attached to the wall, or are there places where it's loose? Are there items that are hanging, wallpaper, for example, ceiling tiles that have been damaged or destroyed, light fixtures that are askew,
flicker.
Oh gosh, yeah, fluorescent light bulbs that are flickering like crazy because the ballasts are just about ready to go out. Are the
is there
diffusers
on your carpet?
Yeah. Are the diffusers up in the ceiling just ungodly, meaning they're either corroded or grimy, or they're faded? You know, those plastic polymers that stuff is made of, that was made back in the 70s and 80s, doesn't last forever. It will yellow. It will turn milky. Is the diffuser on the fluorescent light fixture so milky yellow that the light that's coming out of those things are not white anymore? It's actually
kind of
amber,
dingy.
Yeah, it's an amber, dingy color. That's a sign. It's time. You need to do something.
Is your reception desk, the front of your reception desk, all beat up? Is the top of your reception counter chewed up? Those are the obvious, things that people see right before, when they come in. It is an aesthetic issue, but it's things that, that kind of, they judge you. They judge the quality of care that you give them by the condition of your building. Fair? No. But do they? Yes. I'm a consumer. You're a consumer. You walk into a restaurant, if it looks filthy, I hope you don't eat there. You go into a dentist's office, if it's all chewed up and stuff, you're gonna question about your the level of service, the quality of service.
Well, talk about floor finish, Han. That's another one.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not a big, huge advocate of carpet, but it does serve its purpose. If you have ceramic or porcelain tile that are not necessarily just outdated but worn, it needs to be changed. If you have carpet that looks like it belonged back in the 70s, the old olefin material that are bulletproof, but they've grown ugly and dated, you might invest into a little bit of change there. So you have vinyl floor, or an linoleum floor, or sheet vinyl that have worn spots and stuff like that, especially underneath the chair. Those little telltale signs say you need to do something about that, or should consider doing something about that. It doesn't have to be huge. It can be done in stages, okay? So it doesn't disrupt your office so much. The static is the easy stuff. You're not moving walls or anything like that. An update, a cosmetic update is cheap, quick, but it has great return in your investment. Jim?
Right. Well, let's jump to one that maybe a lot of times you might not think about. Is your staff unhappy? You may say, I don't care if my staff's unhappy. Yeah, you do.
Yes,
you most certainly do, because your staff is an extension of you and your service, and they're the reason, just as much as you and your service is the reason why your patients keep coming back. So if they're unhappy, why? You've got to monitor your staff's satisfaction level. And we're not talking about financial issue. What we're talking about is, are they complaining about running into each other? Never being able to find the necessary items to do their job. I mean, good quality staff want to perform. They want to do a great job. They want to provide a good service because they know, just like anybody, that their jobs depend on this being a successful practice, this being successfully keeping patients, getting new patients. Are they saying, nah, there's too many distractions through this office? This issue or that issue, whatever these particular things are, you've got to identify them. Staff may say, I've got to walk 55 extra steps to get over to get this particular whatever and bring it over to you to be able to do this procedure. Well, maybe that needs to be looked at, because these daily problems, and again, we all know dentistry is a repetitive kind of procedure. You do it over and over and over again. So you do multiple procedures the same over and over and over again. So if you save just a little bit of time every time, it really, really adds up.
And time is money.
And you're right. Time is money.
Okay.
You want to be able to create an environment where your employees are basically reporting that they have an extremely high level of workplace satisfaction. And that space that they're in is crucial to be able to help their job performance. You can really improve their efficiency. You can improve their collaboration, their obviously teamwork, to be able to bring it up to a level that is much higher than what it is if your staff is reporting that they're unhappy. Now, you're not going to please everybody. You never please everybody. There's always somebody that wants to do it a different way. There's always somebody that wants to say, no, I am not happy in that, no matter what. You could, give them the Taj Mahal, they're still not happy. That's fine.
That's right.
That happens. But if the majority of your staff is reporting that things are better or this would improve, it's time to do a renovation. Hon?
Here's a couple examples, okay? I'm in the chat room a lot, so I hear things like, my staff don't need a stinking break room. Now they're there to work. I say, wow, all right. Let me see. The more that you provide for them, that to let them know that they're part of, you appreciate their effort because it's a team that's building a practice. So if you don't have a place, if you have a postage size, a postage stamp size break room where you actually stand next to the coffee machine to eat your, to eat lunch, that's not even fall into the category of what we consider amenities. Okay, you at least provide a space where they can sit and take a little break and have a meal. In the recent probably year or so, we had done a few practices where the dentist went way beyond the call of doing things, good things for for their staff. They actually put in lactation room because majority of the staff in a dentist office are women. They most of them are at the childbearing stage of their life, and so when they have children and stuff like that, lactation room is it's a wonderful thing. Do you have to have one? No, but if you have one where where a staff member can use that, you are their hero. All right. If they don't feel well for any reason, it'll be a great place that they can take a break. I know that the one that we've designed, it was used for multi-purpose besides lactation. So it's also used as a sick room or an emergency where a child is not feeling well and the hygienist or your assistant need to bring it to the office or take them to work with her. There's a room that child can be put in, rest, and keep an eye on. And then you still have a staff member at the office functioning than to call in and say, my kid is sick, I got to stay home. So, you go beyond the normal of, okay, I got to give him a break room. How about a staff break room? Toilet room. How about one? They would love you for it. Okay, most people are very private, particularly the women folks. Forgive me, it's not a sexist thing, but I've known women who would not use public restroom until they get home. Okay, but a bathroom for your staff, make it a little bit wider so you let them so that way it's more functional for them. A locker, maybe a locker so they can put their stuff in there, lock it up, secure. Instead of just take their purse and put it inside the treatment room. Those little things is huge. It's huge. Let me see. Here's a level of I call it caring. We did a practice. There's six workstations at the front in the business office, and the staff say, can we get, can we put in space heaters? And I said, well, we can put in, radiant panels so that it's mounted and it will keep them warm. But those things are like, at that time, it was like $750 a piece. There's six of them. And our clients say, it's a small price to pay. It is. It keep them happy. If they're happy, they're they work harder, and my life is a lot easier. I'm less stressed, so let's just put it in. Okay? So you have the extreme that go like, no, we're not going to give them anything. Then you have those that really understand the value of happy, happy staff. Because if they're happy, they'll make your life better. Jim?
There you go. Now let's continue on the theme of happy staff. Are your utility bills going up? I'm talking about your water, your sewer, your electric, your gas. It could be a telltale sign that your systems, your heating system or your air conditioning system, are past their lifespan, or they're getting to that age where they're about ready to, and or they're beginning to slowly fail. All of those things have a drastic impact on staff, along with patients. and you know that those need to be checked out and serviced and or replaced. It might be time for a renovation. Electrical systems, we talked about light fixtures and those kind of things. Maybe it's time to look at doing away with the more inefficient incandescents and going to the LEDs or the new light fixture systems that are out there, the low wattage ones that gives up, you know, exceptional lighting throughout the space. I'm not talking about the dental equipment light. I'm talking about the general lighting throughout the space. Those kind of things. Piping, you know, your piping is, you know, clangy or making noise or worse yet, leaking. And you're dealing with those kind of issues. You've got areas where leaks are showing through the walls or the ceilings. And, you know, your water bills are going up or your sewer bill and sewer bills going up. Or the toilet fixtures, for example, the fixture itself, you know, are they the inside guts of them still working efficiently or are they slowly leaking? Do you know how much water on a leaking toilet can lose in a weekend?
No. No, I don't. Never thought about it. Because I don't let my toilet leak.
I know. Well, you're a very good person. We had a business office at one time, and they checked it. This is someone that I was associated with. We checked it every time to make sure it was working. For some reason, we missed it. It went for 3 days. The faucet or the toilet fixture actually was slowly leaking water. So, you know, basically just continually ran right out. $900.
$900. That's a month?
Over a three-day. No, we lost $900. The bill was $900 higher for three days.
Wow.
It's an untold amount of water that goes through those things. And, you know, if they're not working, it could be costly. And, you know, who wants to just take, $900 and throw it away?
You know, I didn't dawn on me until just recent years when I used to think, gosh, a toilet costs so much. You know, it's expensive to replace them and stuff. Let's think about this. You know, we deal with codes a lot, okay? Because that's something that we have to be in compliance with. But a height of difference, a height in increase in a toilet itself means a lot as you get older. Okay, if you have fixture that are, you know, yes, it still functions and stuff like that, but it's just outdated and not as efficient, not as user friendly. It costs only a couple hundred bucks to change out. And this is a side note. If you're changing a toilet out in a handicapped stall, make sure the flush on the tank is on the open side of the bathroom. Okay? That I've noticed that, yeah, it's a little thing for me. It's that every time I go into a public place and I look at it and go, dang it, the building official slept on his job and missed that. Because for you to be a person in the wheelchair needing to flush the toilet, had to reach over the, you know, the toilet to flush it when it's, you know, when the flush is on, by, you know, on the inside next to the wall, it's almost impossible to do that. So anyway, I'll track
it. I know it's annoying to you. I mean, obviously, you're.
I will make. Let me see. If I become a code official, I'm going to have a lot of hate mail.
Well, you know, one of the things that get me the most is when the double doors don't work, and or double doors are one leaf of a double door is locked out and it's not unlocked.
During the day,
you know, that we're going to talk about. We're getting off subject a little bit, but not really, because it has to do with the systems and patient satisfaction. Do not, and I repeat, do not lock one leaf of your double door so that when people go to leave, they smack into the door with their hand to push it open, thinking it will gently open, and are hit by a resistance of a door that didn't move. You want to piss somebody off real quick? That really ticks me off. First of all,
that would take Jim off.
It's a code violation. It's a safety issue because there are two doors there for a reason. You know, you don't just put in a double door when you don't have to because they're expensive. If a single door is big enough, then you'll do a single door. So it's a code violation. There's not enough room for a single door, so they had to put a double door in. Don't lock out that other door just because it's convenient or, staff's lazy, whatever it is. Make sure they both work.
Don't do it. This is the anti-Nike commercial. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Since
exactly.
We're on doors. Yeah, since we're on doors, okay, a renovation, an update. If your office is dated back, before the ADA come into play, you may still have knobs that you turn, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So an update, a more current, more user-friendly hardware, the lever type. So change that out. It makes life a lot easier. Now, imagine if you have a door into your treatment room that has a knob. You glove up, right? You wash your hand, you glove up, and you go, I need to open the door. And it's a knob. It's a knob on the door, all right? You're not Houdini. You're not going to be able to open that door, okay? You're going to touch it with your hand, and then you're going to go like, did anybody see me? Because I just contaminated that glove, but I got to get that door open. Change it to a lever, and you can use your elbow to open the door, and there you go. It's fixed, so update that. It's not that big of an expense. And you are now into the 21st century.
That's a good one. Well, let's talk about some more equipment. Your HVAC equipment. When the air conditioning comes on, is there a god-awful noise that shakes the whole place? Or when the heat comes on, do you hear this high-pitched squeal or whatever that rushes through the whole system and... it makes this high-pitched sound or noise through the diffusers, it might be time to renovate at least the heating and air conditioning systems because those things don't last forever. Even though we want them to last forever, but they don't.
Jim, what do you figure the life cycle of typical HVAC equipment? 20 years,
well,
25 years?
A rooftop unit, when I say a rooftop unit, those are those big boxes that sit on top of the roof. You see them on a lot of commercial retail kind of facilities. They obviously can be placed on the ground as well. Those units, 10 to 12 years, 15 if you're really, really lucky and nicely maintained. A furnace unit that's in the building, they typically are a little less, they're 8 to 10 years, again, highly maintained to make sure that everything works on a periodic basis. But, yeah, they don't last forever. These things don't last forever. And go ahead, hon.
Yeah, it's the design – that it needs to be updated, it tells you every time it cranks on, you can hear it, or the uptick on your utility bill.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Sometimes it show up on your ceiling because it's leaking and things like that. So if you own the building, if you're the owner, it's worth keeping an eye on those things. It's a worthy investment because you sit in a chair and every time it cranks on, it sounds like a train just went through your building. It's not a good thing. Right, Jim?
Right, exactly. Well, here's one that kind of relates to, but at the same time has to do with the quality. Do you have an issue with smell? Is like there a moldy, mildew-y kind of presence within your building when you first walk in? You know, it's an issue that over years, stuff, no matter how well we clean, stuff gets into those little nooks and crannies and begins to, you know, grow. And it could be in the ductwork. It's like a, you know, it festers, if you want to call it that. It festers in there, and it, you know, it starts to just grow. You know, all right, let's say you had a little leak one time, and that water got in, but it dried out. But in reality, it didn't totally dry out, you know. So are there issues with those kind of things that are causing your building to basically stink? And that's time. It's definitely time to renovate.
And aromatherapy is not the right solution. Okay?
Febreze is not the right solution.
That's right. That's right. It is trading a stink for a different stink. Because things get old. This is one of the reasons why I'm not a strong advocate for carpet. Because carpet is soaking everything. All right? There is ways to minimize the buildup in, you know, the rancid smell in your finishes and stuff like that. The wear and tear, you know, it's called regular maintenance. If the carpet is vacuum and steam clean on a regular basis, it will last you longer. It will keep your environment cleaner, smell fresher. For instance, you know, you look at microscopically, if you look at your carpet, all right, when you vacuum your carpet, you go like, wow, that's a lot of dust. Those are not dust, they're broken fibers. The carpet fiber breaks. The fiber on your clothes breaks. You know, things kind of fall apart. So it lands on your carpet. You walk in from the outside, you bring in the debris and you bring in sand and stuff like that. That the sand, the grit in your carpet will grind the fiber in two pieces. So that's why it's important to do the regular maintenance. You get rid of the, you know, you get rid of the sand, the grit, the buildup, the broken fiber, and it freshen up the place. We found that maintenance, regular maintenance, is probably the number one cause for deterioration of buildings, interior and exterior, the lack of regular maintenance. So part of your renovation should include a implementation of a regular maintenance program.
That's good advice.
Keep your pretty place look pretty longer.
Yep.
And function longer.
Well, let's jump into a kind of a different area, a little different realm, because we've been talking about utilities and equipment and stuff. Here's a good one that Han, you brought up, which we actually had a client that you had to walk through the lunchroom to get to the pan unit. That's an obvious, it's time to renovate. I mean, what does that say to your patient?
It says you.
I'm speechless.
well, it's, you know, okay. They might say, "What the hell?" All right, because it's like, well, why? Why do you go through the lunchroom, where it's like the, you know, it's like the back closet, or the, you know, or the back dungeon? It should be not just from not just from the patient base, but for your staff as well. Okay, efficiency, it should be within your clinical area, all right, in the heart of your clinical area. So that way your staff go, I'm in the clinical, in the op, come out, let me take you down the hall a couple of steps, boom, you're done. Instead of come this way, by the way, excuse the aroma, one of our staff is taking a break, and she just, you know, she or he just warmed up the fried catfish from last night, right? It just doesn't give you a really good professional impression of your space. It looked like it just kind of put together as an afterthought. So placement, if you purchase an office, an older office, a lot of time renovation and expansion are done out of necessity, and equipment put in place where the only open place is available. That's how it got tucked in. So if you have a office like that, consult a design professional, an architect, like ourselves, and we can take a look at it and give you, and do an analysis of how things can be improved based on, whether you can move a couple of things to make it really, really, really functional properly, rather than simply just let it be, because you're just hurting yourself. Your staff is working in an inefficient environment. Your patient is going through a place where they shouldn't be, and things like that. So, yeah, the functionality of the office should be looked at and see how things can be improved. And it doesn't have to be a total gut, right? It could be simply where it would make the most sense to put this or that. One of the things that I saw in the last few years I thought that was interesting is you're going to spend big bucks on a CEREC machine, okay, a million unit. And you go, I just spent, this thing is almost equal to, a used Maserati. And I want to brag. I want to put it where everybody can see and all that. And you go,
put
like,
it in the lobby.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, those things are noisy. So we're going to get a jacket. A cabinet and a jacket to muffle that down. It's a work machine, okay? It's a machine that milled the teeth or the crown, and so it should be in a work room, right? It's not a piece of art. Yes, you spent a lot of money for it, but it really have no business being out on display. It needs to be where the staff can get to it efficiently, quickly, and you don't need to add more noise in places where it shouldn't be, like your lobby or your waiting room, okay? All right, so I'm done with that, Jim.
There we go. Well, you just threw one out that was interesting to me. You basically have to have a waiting room. Now, you may say, wait a minute, everybody has a waiting room. No. You don't have a waiting room. You have a lobby. You should have a lobby that the individual, the patient, may have someone who brought them, their companion, their associate, their caregiver. They have a place to hang out while they're doing the procedure. You should have systems in place that basically the patient comes in and spends very little time, if at all, waiting. You don't want them to wait. You don't want them to wait at all. So that really means it's time. That if you have patients that have to wait extended period of time in the waiting room, in a waiting room, it's time to have a renovation, because you need to really improve and be more effective with your systems so that you can get those patients in and scheduled properly. And that will improve greatly your patient retention. Here's one that I like a lot, Han. Storage. Do you have boxes scattered everywhere? If you do, it's time for a renovation. Something needs to be fixed. You were going to say something, I can tell.
Yeah. You can feel it, huh? Storage is one of those things that's like you can never have enough. No, I'm not talking about you're going to hoard all kind of stuff and you need storage. But storage, you know, you need it. All
right? The right kind of storage that you're talking about.
The right kind of storage.
You know, not pack rat kind of squirrel away stuff that you keep and never get away, you know, never throw away. We're talking about the right kind of storage.
Yeah, you need storage for your supplies. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. Okay, you need storage for gifts. You know the gift bags you give to patient and things like that. You need storage for for supplies, administrative supplies, toner, paper, you know, that kind of stuff. You need central storage, certainly central storage for your dental supply. But you also need secondary storage or closets within the clinical area so that things that can be accessed quickly rather than go back to the central. So storage in a dental office should be specific to the dental office function. I don't know how many times we built and designed office space, office building, dentist office building that has extra space so they can park their boat or store all of their holiday decoration from their home. It just doesn't make sense. Okay, keep it simple. But you can never have enough storage. It doesn't matter who tell you that you don't need storage. You need storage, but the right kind of storage in the right location. Nowadays, you don't need to buy, a truckload of toilet paper or a truckload of gauze. A lot of your supply can be had within 24 hours or 48 hours. So when you have a office, whether it's existing or new, look at your strategies and look how your supply flow and things like that. So that way you have sufficient capacity based on your ordering intervals. But storage, everybody needs some.
Right.
Here's
another one that kind of relates to the storage item, but at the same time, you know, do you have patient files all over the floor, laying all over the counter, over in this area or over in that area? That's time for a remodel. If you've got something like that going on, these could be old archive files. These could be active current files. It's time to rethink that. It gives a bad impression. People looked at and go, these people are unorganized. What are they going to do to me if they're this unorganized with my file? You don't want that.
Well, besides the the organization issue, there's also a HIPAA issue. Okay.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the more modern practices gone digital. So even when you go digital, some file have to be kept as hard copies. In the days of the 70s, 80s, and even today, lateral file is still used. I encourage you to look at high density filing systems, which takes a smaller footprint and it's organized, it will streamline your filing systems. And I'm talking about you can Google it. It's high density storage systems. Library use them, museum use them, hospital use them. Some dentist office use them. I know that when we design dentist office and they have files and stuff like that, that's why we encourage them and recommend that they implement they're not exorbitant in cost, but it reduces the footprints that you need for your filing systems. High density storage system. Jim?
Cool. Here's one I bet you haven't thought of. Are your trees and shrubbery and landscaping so overgrown you can't see the building? Time for a renovation. And I mean time for renovation. We're talking about time to do something outside the building. Time to do something with that landscaping to rejuvenate the look of your building. You can do a lot by, you know, maybe taking this tree down or replacing this particular set of shrubs or something like that to really liven up that exterior and make it more inviting. Go back to our podcast about the first impression and the front door and that first few moments of time when somebody makes an opinion or basically makes a decision about the quality of your practice before they've even sat down in the chair. So,
yeah, it's curb appeal matters. It does matter. It just need to be, first of all, if you don't want to do anything at all, at least keep it neat and tidy. Okay. One thing that in the past, especially up north, you see a lot of mulberry trees.
Oh, yeah.
And they're used as ornamental trees. When they're in season, bird loves them. And I swear they are very obnoxious because they'll bomb all the cars. They bomb everything. The type of landscaping and things like that would also freshen up your building and just give you a more updated look. You care. You are a person that care about your image, care about the look and things like that. And you may have people do your lawn care, have them do the same thing. You might do your own lawn care. But I know for me, doing yard work and stuff like that is very therapeutic. So I do that myself. Curb appeal really, really add a nice touch to the perception that the new patient or existing patient have of your office.
So if you're talking about new patient, here's another. If the patient, especially the new patient, can't find the front door, you're in trouble. It's time for a renovation. You need to be able to highlight. You need to be focused. You need to have a very welcoming, inviting, attractive, easily found and easily got to front door. It can't be around the corner, up the hill, and on the side of the building. It's got to be easily welcoming and inviting. If you don't have it, you need to renovate.
I've seen, Jim, like when you're located within a condo development or business condo development or a commercial medical office building, it's a little more challenging. But you want your front entrance to say welcome. Here I am, welcome. You don't want it to be kind of incognito and kind of blending with the woodwork. Okay? Because the harder it is for the patient to find your business, when you find your front door, the less likely, you don't want to set their mood before they come to your office that they're already frustrated because they can't find your office. Make it stand out. Make it prominent. Jim?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you don't want that little dinky sign that says Han Tron Dentistry, enter.
No way.
On the door.
I would have neon. I would have neon doors.
On the door. You got to do something. So it's time to renovate when you can't find, literally when your patients can't find the front door. And here's one that I guess in a more broader sense is, if you've really not been able to get the new patients that you want, it may be time to renovate. And the reason why we're saying that is you're kind of stuck. You're stuck in a rut. You've got a whole bunch of patients, and they're the existing patients that you had over years and years and years, because you have great service and they keep coming back. They're familiar with you. They're happy. Yeah, they'll overlook some of these things we just talked about because they like you and they're okay with that. But you're not getting that new patient numbers that you need to have. It really is an indicator that you need to renovate. You need to do something different to be able to get those new patients coming in the door. Because we all know you can't survive forever on just an existing static patient base that never grows.
Yeah, that is something that I think as a business owner, you need to to keep an eye on. The society change, the population change, the dynamics and ethnicity of the or diversity of your community change. So if you're accustomed to service a certain demographic and not paying attention to the changing demographic of your community, you're gonna miss out on opportunities. So if you want to, the patient that come to you for years, they trust you, they like you, they're gonna continue to come. But if you want to attract the newcomer, you have to make your office more inviting, more current, so that when they come and they drive in their BMWs and their Mercedes, they feel that they came to the right place for the right service. It's a worthwhile thing to keep an eye on, so that you can attract the service. I mean, we had this discussion just recently on Dental Town that dentists were saying, I have a hard time attracting the new clients or new patients that are, and I want to attract the more affluent, because the community that where he practices are becoming more upward mobile. They have more income to do things, to do things with. So to attract that kind of clientele or patient base, you have to provide a facility that they will come and say, this is where I want to go, where I want to come, and I'm going to tell all my friends. Okay? Because nowadays, they can tell the world in one push of a button. So invest in that. Invest in updating that. Yeah. Jim?
Yeah, so in summary, again, if your office looks like the one you went to as a kid, it's definitely time to renovate. You don't want to communicate to everyone, your existing patients and your new patients, that you're living in an outdated facility, because that has a direct impact and impression on you, your service, your staff, and the overall service that the patient would expect to receive. In reality, it might not be that, and it probably isn't that. But impressions matter. They matter greatly. And aesthetics obviously are a part of it, but there's more to it than just the aesthetics. So hopefully this has been an interesting discussion, giving you a couple things to think about. Obviously the things we're talking about could be major, could be minor, could be little fixes, could be big, massive fixes. Obviously, each one's unique and unique to what you're looking at. Han, has there been anything, I'll let you have the last word on that discussion, but is there anything that you wanted to talk about from Dentaltown last week?
No, actually, I just want to add one more item to our discussion today, Jim.
Okay.
When we talk about renovation and update and stuff like that, the sign is that if you're maxing out your space and you are just busting at the seam and you need to add on, okay, that is also a perfect time to update the rest of the space. It is sinful to travel from a part of the practice or part of the building that that has a time warp when you're in 1980 into a more modern, 2019, 2020 space. You want a uniform, a continuity in the aesthetic in your office. So when you do a renovation or an addition, that is a good time to also update the rest of the space. Okay, that is all, Jim.
Cool. Well, we look forward to spending another hour with you next Tuesday, and obviously enjoy your holiday weekend, and we'll catch you next Tuesday. Han, last words.
Appreciate you spending the evening with us. Happy 4th. Until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.